What a blessing. Thank you so much. She's a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Kevin. Kevin, how long have you been doing the music for us as far as the,
about a year and a half.
Yeah. I can't tell you what it means to me, but I know for a while I had to do it, you know, and it's not that you don't want to be ugly and say I don't mind doing it. But it's tough when you have to do that and try to preach. I can barely preach, so having to think about the music was really a difficult task. And so I'm grateful for Kevin being willing to do that for us. Somebody needs to cut on. Yeah, give him a hand. That's good. Yeah. Tim, can you, one of you guys, turn that down to notice somebody fanning, and it is a little warm in here to me. And you don't want your preacher to be hot. I might have to finish early if it's too hot. Yeah. Don't cut the heat on. Yeah. So, okay. Your Bible's open to, let's go to obviously 2 Corinthians, but I want to go back to 1. So 2 Corinthians 9, and we did a thing on stewardship for a couple of months, so I'm going to read a verse or two there, but I'm going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And in just a few minutes, we will pass out a handout to you. We're going to do a little fill in the blank. Don't be worried. You don't need a pen or pencil. If you have one, that's great. If you don't have one, that's great. I'm going to buzz through the handout and give you the answers. And I'll give you all the scripture references, so when you get home after the meal today, and if you have an interest in following up on some of these, you can go back and read those Bible verses for yourself. We still are talking about the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We talked about it being a holy call. Last week, I think 3 points I made. It was a holy calling. And it was a high calling, a heavenly calling. We talked about how God's call, it's His call that's given to us. And every, when you look at it grammatically in the New Testament, and what is the Greek New Testament, in every form of language, whether it's an adjective, whether it's a noun, being the subject of something, or whether it's the verb, the action, or if it's describing something as an adjective, the word called or calling appear in all those different forms in the grammar. Because the calling of God is what really dictates our Christian pursuit. I don't know where I heard this, but let's say I ask you to fill the baptistry and had to do it one cup at a time from the kitchen. And so, I don't know how many gallons it holds. It holds a lot. One time, this was when we were in the old building. I'm gonna chase a rabbit here. But when we were in the old building, they make heaters, obviously, for baptismal pools, right? And so in your mind, this baptismal pool here, or this baptistry, is twice the size is what we used to have. If you can imagine, our sanctuary was in what now is the fellowship hall. And that baptistry was one where I never got in. I walked behind the baptistry. So it was at least just half the size, if not more. To make a long story short, the same heater that heats this is the same size heater that heated that. But that was half the water. Well, one time we were going to baptize, and I probably did it. I can't remember. Somebody did it. We turned it up to like 9.5 or 10. And I'm always the first one at church. Now it's not all the time. Jim Gilley beats me here a lot. But I got here that morning, and when I opened the side door, the whole building was full of steam. It was like it was on fire, but I could tell it was the steam. And here, the water was so hot that you couldn't get in it. Now, I didn't have to get in it. They did. We had an ice maker, and we took every piece of ice in that ice maker, and it didn't help much at all. So I can imagine if we decided to take a cup of water. But here's my point. Let's just say that God has a plan for Redland Baptist Church. And let's say our plan can be symbolized by a full baptistry. But in order to fill that baptistry, you and me, one cup at a time, are going to go and bring it and pour it in. But we're only going to be able to do it when we're doing what God says for us to be doing. What I'm saying is, it's like responding to the call of God. When we are doing what God has called us to do, that's when we can go fill our cup. And that's when we can come and fill it up. It's that kind of picture that when we think about our calling, it's about the ministry to the saints. That's what he's going to tell us in a minute. That it's about the ministry to the saints. God saved you and put you in the church not for you to build your ego up, but you're here to build me up and to build everybody else up. So your ministry to the saints, the Bible says, and your ministry in the church. That's how he describes it. The ministry to the church or ministry to the saints. That's your calling. And God has a call upon every one of us. And the Bible says that call, though it looks the same in many ways, it's different for every one of us because we're all different. Paul uses the word orchestra. He uses the word multicolored. Matter of fact, he uses a word like how we blend ourselves together is a pattern that somebody would stitch, but looking at it from the backside. You know, God brings it all together. But the plan is for you to respond to your call, for you to be obedient, sanctified, set apart, those things that the Bible says. So I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm just going to read. This is talking about our calling and Paul's calling, but I want you to listen to God's Word. He says, Paul called by the will of God. By the way, God's call, whether it's being an apostle or whether it's just being a Christian saved saint, it's sovereign. You don't call yourself. God calls you to salvation. So this call is sovereign. You're called to ministry, whatever, and you are called to ministry. When the Bible says you're called to serve, almost exclusively the word is the word we get, the word ministry. So you're called to be a minister as well. So you're called, he says, so it's sovereign. It's God called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sosthenes, who was with him. Look what he says, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, set apart in Christ, called to be saints. Saints is the same root that the word holiness comes from. Called to be saints, the holy set apart ones, together, called to be, look what he says, called to be saints together. A great study is to go through the New Testament and read all the references that describe us being together. How you and I are, the Christian life is not described in its autonomy. It's described in its corporate life. We are saints, plural, together. We're meant to be together. And I've said it 1,000 times. That's why the word saint is not ever used singular in the New Testament. It's always plural because you and I, the Bible says, we're meant to be together. And because God does something among us that He does not do when we're by ourselves. So, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together. Now look what he says. Now this, of course, this was 2,000 years ago. Called saints together with all those who in every place
So this is not true just for Corinth. This is true for every church that would exist since Pentecost. This applies to us. We are saints together. Who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. So this calling, this responding as the saints of God, to God calling you together as a church, as a member of a body, however term you want to think about it, it's God's sovereign, merciful call to sinners like me and you. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 real quick, and let me just show you a couple things in chapter 9. This he's writing in chapter 9. Look what he says. Verse 1 says, now, 2 Corinthians 9, 1, now it is superfluous of me to write to you about the ministry for the saints. He's saying, you know, it's kind of repetitive, it's kind of not needed, but I'm going to do it. For me to write to you about the ministry for the saints. And of course, he's been talking about this offering that's supposed to be going to Jerusalem, but he's just saying that you know that it's about the ministry for the saints. Now, in the context, there's this big goal is to send a big offering to Jerusalem. But right now at Redland Baptist Church, in God's sovereign plan, calling us to be ministers, He has a ministry for the saints that you're supposed to be a part of. And you could get into the doctrine of the church in the sense that, you know, we're a body, we're a building, we're a flock, we're a bride. All these pictures in the New Testament where the whole purpose is for the many to become one, united under the headship of Christ. And so that's no different than when Paul says the ministry to the saints. That's what the goal of it. Look at chapter 8. Go back to chapter 8. Look what he says in verse 23. As for Titus, you remember Titus is the one that's going to represent Paul as they come to. He's coming. The letter's coming from up at Macedonia, probably in Philippi or from Thessalonica. He's sending it south to Corinth. And Titus is going to be the one that brings it and makes the application. And he says, as for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker. I love that. You find that many times throughout the New Testament, this fellow worker. It's the word energy, soon, synergy is the word in Greek, synergy. We use English word, synergy, where forces come together, so together we do work, synergy together. He says, as for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches. So what he's saying is, Titus's ministry is for you, and also these messengers that are going to accompany Titus, we dealt with all this, it's also for the churches. It's about the church. You're about the church. Your calling is to grow in Christ likeness. That's true. But your calling is to serve the church. Paul does not want the Corinthians to forget about that. Look at chapter 9. Look at verse 10. Another great truth. Robbie, y'all can go ahead and start passing those out. Don't worry about looking at it. I'll walk through every one. You don't have a tendency to start drawing on it and reading it. So wait and follow with me. But they'll pass it out. It'll take just a second. But let me read verse 10. I'm in 2 Corinthians 9:10. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. We were talking about this in Sunday school a little bit. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. If you go back in Genesis and read the creation accounts, listen to me, this is tied together. In creation, in the physical creation, when God made fruit-bearing trees, right? Not only were they trees, He made them instantaneously. We were talking about it in Sunday school. They could have looked like they were 50 years old. Instantaneously, they were fruit-bearing trees. But inside of those trees, He says they're seed-producing. So not only were they bearing fruit, inside that fruit was what? See, so God made provisions. And that's been true for 6,000 or 7,000 years of biblical history. God has, in sovereign, whether you're a pagan or an infidel or you're born again, God has made these provisions for all of mankind. Well, in the walk of faith, that's what God has done. It says, He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, we know that's true, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the... Are you looking at your Bibles? And increase the harvest of what? Righteousness. So this calling is we have the blessings of being able to sow spiritual seeds. And He says when we do that, sow the seeds of the gospel, sow the seeds of biblical obedience, that it will increase the harvest of righteousness. That's what God's plan is. But we have to do it. We have to do it as a body. We have to do it together. If you don't mind, let's go to one cross reference, and then we'll look at the sheet. Go to John's gospel real quick. John chapter 12. I want you to look at this real quick. John chapter 12. This will sound familiar. John 12. Sometimes I say go to a verse and I didn't proofread it, and I'm sure hoping it's the right one. Look at John chapter 12, verse 24. It's going to sound familiar. This is the beginning of the last week of Christ's life, and this is where the Gentiles came seeking Jesus, but this is in the middle of that conversation. This is, He's told him that it's time for the Son of Man to be glorified. He's going to the cross. Anyway, truly, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. Now, so let's just make the spiritual application. God's seed has been, God has saved you. You're like a seed. The Spirit of God is in you. You're His. You've been owned and bought by Him. And the intent is not for you to be alone, just by yourself, have your own little autonomy world of Christianity. If it remains alone, it says, He says, truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies to self, that's what I'm thinking about, it bears much fruit. The whole point is if it's placed in the ground, germination takes place, that seed dies, then it produces fruit. And then he kind of explains this. It sounds familiar to what Robbie just read. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And then he says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. Folks, we can use Jesus' name all the time. We can talk about God and we can talk about the Spirit. But Jesus says it's real when we're following Him, when what He says is what we are going to do. And the text for us is we've been called into the ministry. We have a high calling. I think about what Peter says in 1 Peter. We've been chosen, raised, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that we may proclaim the excellencies of Him who's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We're looking at our handouts now. We'll come back to this, obviously, at some point in the future. You don't have to write it in. You're going to have to be quick if you do. But we always, these are just verses where it's talking about the call, whether it's the calling, the call, the called. We always pray for you that the Lord will make you worthy of His calling. Worthy of His calling. Paul says the same thing, and that's in 2 Thessalonians 1. Paul says the same thing to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, that we would be worthy of our calling. Our calling is to be Christ-like. Our calling is to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Our calling is to be a holy member of the local body of Christ, that we would be worthy to be called by Christ's name. Worthy of the calling. The sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. They hear His voice. He calls His own sheep by name, and He leads them out. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I've heard the audible voice of God call my name. I'm not going to tell you that. But in my mind and heart, I have heard it, spiritually speaking, where God calls me to do a task because He's the shepherd and I'm the sheep. And He's asking me to do certain things. The voice, His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. You can study the life of sheep. Even Jesus talks about it in John 10. That the voice of strength. Listen, it says, Jesus says, John 10, the voice of strangers they will not follow. The voice of strangers they will not follow. And this is true. It happens to Israel in this day. You know, they'll put several sheep folds together. And then when that shepherd of certain sheep shows up, because somebody had to, you know, was around them all night long, so they show up to take them to the still waters, and they'll call, and just their sheep will follow them. They won't. Other sheep will wait for their shepherd. So the sheep hear my voice and they follow me. But folks, to know the stranger's voice, you don't start by listening to the stranger. You have to start by listening to the shepherd. When you know the shepherd's voice, then you know the stranger's voice. You'll know it's strange. And folks, one of our biggest struggles is not knowing God's Word like we should. You know that. I know that. I regret not being a better Bible student. Every day I think about the things I don't know. And I'm not learned like I should be. And I haven't listened to the voice of God in many ways. Next one says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children. Isn't that awesome? See, what kind of love is it that we as sinners would be able to be called God's children? It's when Jesus, think about the resurrection, he calls the disciples brothers. He calls us children, by the way, and I'm 65 and I'm still a child of God. I act childish, right? You act childish. We are disobedient to the Father. And children need to be disciplined. And so Hebrews, there's a whole section of chapter of Hebrews that deals with discipline. He disciplines those He loves. And it's a sign that you are His child when He spanks you spiritually and calls you to repent, those things. So I gave you this one a while ago. Ephesians 4:1 is walk worthy of your calling. Next one says, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant. So those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Let me read that again. Christ is the mediator of a new covenant. Like Abraham, Moses, okay. Christ, there's a new covenant. So those who are called, and you know if He's called you to be saved, you also know when He called to save you, He called you into the ministry. So those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Promised inheritance. Now, who earned this inheritance? Not you, but Christ did. Isn't that an awesome promise? It says, for those who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. That's just part of the verse. For those who are called according to His purpose. When I'm typing it, I do as short, as little as I can. Now, if Julie was doing it, I'd have had her type the whole verse, but it was me. Called according to His purpose. The promise is for everyone whom the Lord God calls to Himself. That's Peter's sermon, part of Peter's sermon at Pentecost. Lord, to everyone the Lord calls to Himself. Jesus stopped and said, call him. This is blind. This is the blind man, blind Bartimaeus. Jesus stopped and said, this is an incredible passage. Call him. So Bartimaeus has been over there screaming, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He heard that it was Jesus. And he had heard things about Jesus. So he kept screaming all the more, oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. So very seldom in the text does it ever say that somebody stops. And it says, Jesus, in some translations, King James says, New King James, and Jesus stood still. ESV says, Jesus stopped. And he said, call him. And so they called the blind man saying, take heart, get up. He's calling you. Amen? You're here today. It's an honor for Jesus. If you're here today and you're saved, but you're not living like you should, He's not obligated to call you to repentance. He's God. He could call somebody else to do your job and be rewarded. He doesn't need you. So when He convicts us of sin and righteousness and obedience, it's an honor. Take heart. Get up. He's calling you. By the way, he was a blind beggar. So if he got up, he was gonna not beg anymore. It's a long story if you read it, historical context, just the decision to jump up and give up his spot of begging. For those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also what? Justified. And those whom He justified, He also what? Glorified. Folks, He did it all. He did it all. And technically, in the mind of God, He did it before He ever saved you. Now, in time experience, this happens step by step. But in God's eternal mind, it's already happened. He glorified us. Next one says, He set me apart before I was born, and who called me by His grace, Galatians 1. He set me apart before I was born. Do you see? So Paul knew that he didn't wake up one day and decide to be a Christian. He knew that God in eternity past had picked him, just like he picked Israel out. He picked him out. He set him apart. And in time and space, it happened. We read in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, God chose. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. That's a Bible verse you need to read the context of. But the gifts, spiritual gifts, He gives us gifts, at least one. But among us, there's multiple gifts. And the calling. He called us. It's irrevocable. I know for Ryan and Robbie, the calling. Ryan, tell us, why is it that you can't quit? Why is it? Wonder if we mistreated you and you had to go to another church. Would you just quit the ministry? Can't do it. Now, you may not go to the First Baptist Church that runs 10,000, but you can assert, because there's a calling. Robbie's the same way. Robbie, I can remember when I personally called you on the phone and the conversation we had. And, we are distantly related to Diane anyway. But you could tell from Robbie's response that there was this desire. I mean, he just about jumped out and threw the phone. I know he had to pray about it and think about it, but when God calls, and this is a whole different thing for ministers, but He calls us just like He calls you. You can't get away from it. And I'm not talking about being called into, I'm talking about being called to be a follower of Christ and doing what God says do. You can't get away from it. So if you're not, even if you're not with the church, if you're not together with the church on a regular basis, you ought to be convicted about that. It should be uncomfortable, because He's called you to be together. If you're not growing, if you're not faithful to God's Word, if you're not part of doing what God's doing, there should be this conviction that because you want to be. So it's God's calling, and it's irrevocable. It's not going to change. And we're accountable. You think about, let's just say, I know the ham and turkey won't be cold, but we don't have to go far, do we? Okay. Let's just say God's gifted you, and you know He has. I'm going to make this up. Let's say God's gifted you to, be a teacher. Not a school teacher. But you know that there's been times in your life where you've been able to teach. You could be teaching youth or something. And let's say beyond a shadow of a doubt, if we were to be over here personally in a closet, not publicly, and we were talking, and somebody were to ask you, what do you think your gift is? And you would say, if you were honest, I think God has really gifted me to teach. And then maybe you say, I remember back when I was 21 and I had this. And then you haven't been doing it for the last 10 years. Well, did God just give up on you and take the gift away? No. The calling, did He take the calling away? Are you still called to be a teacher in the body? Yes, you are. It's irrevocable. And you should be convicted about it to some degree. And that can go across the board. Our gifts, whatever those gifts might be, if you're an exhorter, but you're not with the body enough to exhort, all those things. If you got the gift of service, a gift of giving, all those things, you should want to use them. To this He called you through our gospel. Can't be saved unless you hear the word, the gospel. To this He called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. He didn't call us to be ungodly. You were called into the fellowship of His Son. Isn't that awesome? Communion. You know, and so in some degree, you know, when the fellowship we have with Christ, we really never can completely break that completely, because it's a communion and Christ is always faithful. We can be unfaithful, but He's called us into the fellowship of Christ. Look what that He saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace. Isn't that awesome? He's just a gracious God. Folks, you know, He says, if you're here today and you think to yourself, well, I don't have all these fancy gifts. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a whatever. He tells us in 1 Corinthians and in Romans 12 that every gift is just as important as the next one. You know, He goes into this thing Paul does in to the Corinthians. Will the eye say to the hand, I don't need you? You know, because if you're here today and you're saved, God has called you to be together with us serving Christ together. You need to be picking up a cup and taking the cup of water to the baptistry. That's what you need to be doing. It's your responsibility to respond to the call. It says, for this you've been called, so that you might follow in His steps. There's a book by that name, In His Steps. To this you have been called, to follow in His steps. We just read it in John 12, where Jesus says, wherever I am, there will my servant be. And folks, we know where He is. We have a book that He penned. So we have a book. We know where He is, and that's where we need to be. I love what He says in John 11. This is to Mary. You have Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And Jesus shows up. He hasn't resurrected Him yet. He's met Martha. Read it for yourself. But they go to Mary, and it says, the teacher is here, and He is calling for you. Now, folks, if there's a statement or a Bible verse on here that's true for everybody in here, but this is not only true for us right now, as it was true for Mary. For those of us that are saved and sealed by the Spirit, this is true every moment of every day. The teacher's here, and He's calling for you. He's calling for you. And you must respond. You must respond in submission to His will. The final one says, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. There's a calling. The ministry to the saints. You need to be in the ministry. I'm just telling you, you need to be in the ministry. The ministry to the saints. Let's stand together for prayer. Now, I'm going to say the blessing too, so when we get in there, you know, the food's been sanctified. I don't know, I'm assuming there's two lines, am I right?
There's the one on the left, the choir room.
Okay. So the choir room is set up, okay. We've done this a dozen times, so you know what to do. I do want to thank the hospitality team. I know Bonnie and many of you, Diane, I mean, many of your wives were up all night long cooking and rushing around, and it was chaos at our house. I'm sure it was chaos at your house this morning, but thank you, ladies, for doing that. I know we have turkey and ham and all the sides, dressing. I know we have dressing. God's good, isn't He?